Welcome to Money Moves, the program that is talking about very interesting aspects of your money, your life, your hopes, your dreams, your desires, all of that. We're here for you. I'm Jill Schlesinger. I'm a certified financial planner. He's Mark Delercio, a certified financial planner. I'm trying to...
You're into that.
Giving it something new. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
I liked it.
You liked it? I could hear you snickering. Mark, I have a very important thing that does not apply to us.
Go.
It's called dateflation.
It does not apply.
Well, I mean, we go on dates with our spouses, but...
I go on dates with my spouse and my child.
Yes. So, okay. So, you know about inflation.
I know
that inflation has been picking up. 3.8% above where we were a year ago in prices. It's kind of ugly out there. So I found this study, which I kind of love. Putting the readers on for this. Stand by, old folks. Here we go.
Everything's very coordinated.
I know. Well, it's the Gail King of it all. Okay. BMO said that millennials are spending $252 per date on average. $252? Oh, my God. Gen Z, the younger ones, $205 on a date. Okay, half of singles say they've gone on fewer dates or chosen less expensive activities. I am now on that. This is my post-COVID change in my own life, which is I'm down on the let's go have lunch. I'm all into let's take a walk. Mm. I love that. I think that's great. Okay, the average number of dates per person has gone down in the last year. Question is, let's find out whether people, you guys, you're going to have to respond to us. What do you think about a first date, a walk? You know, we have parks here in New York City. So to me, I always say to Jackie, like, well, if we were just dating, if I were scrolling, I don't even know. I've never swiped or scrolled or done anything because I'm so old that and been with Jackie now for, it'll be 24 years this summer, that I don't even know. But what would you think, Mark, if like your first date was like, let's go for a walk?
I am all for that.
Would Amanda be into that?
No, absolutely.
Oh, my God. His wife? No.
No.
All right, gang. So get a little bit more comfortable with this. Activities. We know, by the way, one thing we do know, this is really true. This is like big time behavioral economic research that when you do an activity or share in an event, it has a longer lasting impact on people than a gift or even just a meal. So
it's the experience.
The experience of it all. How about a cheaper meal? What about a coffee? Are you down for coffee?
Let me ask you something. You just brought this up. Do you get coffees out a lot?
Well, I mean, I got CoStars across the street, so sometimes.
But, you know, when you go to a coffee shop, I mean, I love my coffee, but I probably make more of it at home nowadays than I ever have. But I like to go into a coffee shop. Every time I go in now, you know, and I pay, and it automatically, they just like put that automatic tip screen.
Oh, I hate that. I hate that tip screen so much.
Do you tip?
Well, it depends.
What you got. If I'm just getting straight up cup of coffee.
Yeah.
No,
I mean, I feel very George Costanza about this. I feel very much like I have to put the dollar bill. I want them to see me put it down. But I go to a coffee shop, one coffee shop that I go to where I'm always getting a ton of stuff when I make like the order. And then I feel like, oh, you know, Jackie wanted an oat milk latte or some crap like that.
Some effort.
The effort.
Some skill.
I know. But what about it? Oh, wait a second. What about at a bar? Okay. You go to a bar.
Yeah.
And you and I are bar denizens. We love a bar.
Mm-hmm.
I just get a beer. I get a glass of wine. I get a straight, like, an ounce and a half of scotch. What are you tipping on that?
How many drinks was that?
Just saying, like, a drink. Like,
of
nothing.
Course, yeah,
no mixed drink. But how much was it? Is that a 20% or a 10%?
I mean, I really just go to two bars. And I've become very good friends with the bartenders at both places, and they take care of me. But I always give them a good tip.
I know. I'm an over-tipper from way back.
Yeah, for bar drinks, for sure. But if I'm just going, I'm getting an Americano. I don't know. That did not exist when I was younger, the whole coffee tipping culture.
I know. You know, this is actually why this show exists, which is money creeps into so many parts of our lives. Like, it is your love, it is your fear, it is your greed, it is your anxiety. We're here for you. This is why you need us. We're going to tell you, do not be spending a lot of money on a mediocre meal when you could be taking a beautiful walk in a park in your neighborhood or with somebody who's interesting. Get out there and do stuff. Okay, our next jillionaire up from abroad, but really from New York, is Andy. Andy, what is going on? How can Mark and I help you out?
Hi, both. So I am 30 years old. I'm single and I'm thinking about having kids in the future. I've started to explore the option of freezing my eggs, but I spent my 20s going to grad school and working in the art world, both pathways that did not result in great savings. And now that I'm exploring this realm, I've come up with the reality of how much it costs. I mean, in New York City, it can be upwards of $20,000 for one cycle of freezing your eggs. And that doesn't include storage that you pay every year. I think it could be at least $1,000. And it's not even guaranteed to work. And I don't even know how to start navigating this, and I would love any thoughts of how you would even begin to navigate.
First of all, you are like so many. Mark, I just had this conversation with my niece about this.
My neighbor, 30 years old, just did this.
Same thing.
Just did
So
this.
this is like happening. First of all, congratulations because you're actually thinking ahead, which is incredible. And I know that the reality of some of the choices you've made so far, career-wise, it's not like, I went into investment banking, so I'll just take some money out of my checking account, right? So the big question I have, Andy, is for right now, you're working full-time?
Yes.
And how much do you earn about?
Not that much, probably around $70,000. I actually just switched jobs, so I'm working for a startup. So I have some
Okay.
equity, but again.
Right. That has not come to fruition. Do you have any money saved so far? Like money either in retirement accounts or checking or anything that's floating around for you?
I have retirement accounts and then I have accounts that were set up by my family, inheritance accounts. So I don't touch any of that, but it does exist.
Okay, Mark, what do you think about the family accounts? I'm already
I
zooming in
need
on that.
to know the numbers. Do you know the numbers by
Do you know about
chance?
the family accounts? Do you know how much you have? A lot? You feel embarrassed? It's okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's substantial. I don't actually know the exact number, but it's not something that I dip into here and there. It's like all invested and stashed away.
Yeah, but who controls it? You or someone else? Is it a trust or do you control it?
My dad actually is the trustee, so he controls it.
Okay. Mark, how are you feeling about going to your parent about, I want to do this. This is a big deal. I mean, honestly, Andy, in my thinking, this is a far more important decision that you do this today than say, hey, I need some money to buy an apartment or a house. I think that this is something that you could actually have a conversation because obviously, I don't want you to touch your retirement accounts because it's really hard to get, once you take money out, it's hard to get it back in. So you could certainly borrow the money from a retirement account if it's an active plan. Like if you had an old retirement account and you rolled it into your new retirement plan, you can borrow against it. But you're running the risk that if the startup blows up and they go out of business, then you have to repay that loan or you have to pay tax on what you took out. Let's get your dad on the phone right now. No, I'm just kidding. I think this is like more important than anything else that you could do in your life. I think it is worth having an uncomfortable conversation with a parent about this. I would never borrow money to do this, especially if you have it, if you have the means, that's the issue. And I would not take money out of my retirement plan to do this. But Mark, how are you feeling about the conversation with dad?
I think the solution to this problem exists. Like the solution is, it's right there. I mean, you're not asking your dad, can I take $20,000 out to go on a trip around the world? This is, something that's time sensitive. This isn't like something just whimsical that you're throwing out there. So, yeah, I mean, have the conversation with your dad. But I get the sense that she really doesn't want to have this
Yeah,
conversation.
I mean, okay, here's how I would frame it. You ready for your framing for dad? You're going to be able to replay this or just have me do it. I'll just do it like I'm talking to your dad, okay? So, Andy's dad, here's what's going on. I know you control all this money, and I know there's a part of you that wants to control Andy too. So I get that. However, your daughter is making one of the most responsible decisions she could ever make in her life, and that is not tying her fortunes to whoever her next boyfriend is, but tying her fortunes to herself and relying on herself to be able to make sure she makes the right decision about a partnership in the future and not have it be so time sensitive. So, Andy's dad, send her the 50 grand right now. She's going to need 50 grand. It's going to be used for something wonderful. It's called a grandchild. And Mazel Tov, I'm sure that she's going to be very good to you as well. How does that do? Andy, do you think I sold it?
I mean, yeah, I totally think you did. And I am open to having the conversation with my parents. I think that there is part of me, though, that, you know, as I get older and older, I want to do things myself. And I know maybe there's, you know, times
to be... I get that. I totally understand that. However, if you are fortunate enough to have this ability to do this, I trust you. You're going to have this conversation. Again, you're not saying, oh, I want you to go out. I need to get a 3-bedroom apartment. Can I invade the trust? Mm-hmm. No, you're saying I want to make it on my own, which is laudable. Mm-hmm. But as someone who grew up with a few bucks myself, what I always found was like, if it's a real thing, your parents do want to be there for you. And I would personally not be the person who is like, oh, I'm just going to automatically do it myself. I think that this is a wonderful opportunity. It's an intergenerational opportunity. And I have faith in you. So I'm saying go for it. Mark, as someone who grew up with no money, how would you like to weigh in?
100%. The money's there for her to use in a situation like this.
So yeah.
Yeah, like I said before, the solution to this problem exists.
Mark, you know, one of my favorite anchors sends me clips of social posts.
I know who you're talking about.
I know. And I'm not going to out her. But she sends this to me all the time and says, what do you think of this?
Yeah, yeah.
And Mark laughs his ass off because all of these folks who say they are so knowledgeable on social media, whether it's Reels or TikTok, a lot of them are just completely selling crap and they are not credentialed. So we devised a segment, and it doesn't have to be on TikTok, but I'm calling it TikTok Takedown.
The S&P 500, it is not worth your time.
What's the S&P 500?
That's the US stock market. It's the broadest measure of the stock market, and you can buy shares in it. Now, that grows at about 11% a year. So let's imagine you've got your $1,000. Well, 11% a year is going to take you a fucking long time to make any money, right? Mm-hmm. So it is not worth your time. The financial advisors will say, yes, you must do this, start now. I'm like, I'm sorry, it's just not going to change your life. Okay, then we go to technology stocks. NASDAQ does about 18% a year. Okay, that's starting to add up because these numbers compound after a while. You know, it goes from 1,000 to 1,200. And then, you know, it's another 20% on top of that, 20%. These numbers add up fast. Bitcoin, since 2011, been 145% a year. Even with it falling 80% three times in the middle of that. So 145% a year, as long as you're in it long enough, okay, now that's really starting to pay off. And then as you get slightly more speculative, I take a bit more risk in things, well, the returns go up, but they become riskier. So once you start moving into that world, okay, this is a whole different world now. Now the guy with $1,000 can get rich.
Mm. What a dope.
Isn't it? What an incredible dope.
I would love
a regular shirt.
I would love to see this guy's portfolio. I guarantee you
he
has
so
the S&P 500.
Full of crap. Also, he says S&P stocks, like the way he even describes it.
I want to like
so,
him because like, he's got an accent, but what a
no,
dope.
No, total dope. Okay, gang. I can cherry pick anything, okay? I can tell you the worst piece of crap, any investment. And as long as I pick the bottom to a higher level, it looks great. But the beautiful thing about the public markets in the United States is that we have 100 years of data. We don't have to rely on 15 years of data. And until somebody has lived through losing 80% and not losing their shirts, then we know that they can hold. You know who can hold on to Bitcoin through an 80% drop? People who don't need that money. That's so okay, I don't want to be a buzzkill. You want to buy Bitcoin? Go buy Bitcoin.
Sure.
But if you want to, the same advice that I give for people who want to buy individual stocks or company stock, the stock that they work for, keep your total amount invested to less than 5%. We had a guy who came on the show right in the middle of COVID and Bitcoin had ballooned up. The position was worth $7 million.
Yeah.
And he said, I'm scared to sell. I said, what are you scared of? And he said, well, what if it keeps going up and I don't participate? This fear of missing out is huge, right? And I said, but what if we took $6.5 million We sold your Bitcoin. You paid your tax. You invested it to get, oh my God, just 11% a year, which, by the way, I bet this guy doesn't know how to compound, but God forbid we actually asked him.
Since when is 11% considered bad? Give me that for the rest of my life.
11% is incredible. So in that respect, if you want to keep less than 5% in your portfolio in something risky, fine. It has to be what you can afford to lose so that when it goes down by 80%, you actually don't mind it. So should you bet your entire future on Bitcoin or any single investment idea? No.
Would you walk into a casino and walk up to a roulette table and put it all on a single number? Because that's what you're doing.
Or put it this way. Would you go to the craps table where the odds are better and you still wouldn't bet your entire life on it?
Can I just say this segment should really be sponsored by like a blood pressure medication or something? Yeah. It just gets me going.
Mark is on pressers for this. Okay. This stuff can be so emotional. It gets complicated because of that. Even if you don't think you have a head for math, you are able to do this. As I always say to you, Mark, the only thing you need is the ability to add and subtract, multiply and divide. I'll do everything else for you. Mark will too. We are here to help you. If you want to get in touch with us, our email address is askjill@cbs.com and our website, jillonmoney.com. There's a contact us button. Just know that we are creating this show for you. It's about you. So tell us what you want us to talk about. Send us your financial questions. And if you're really struggling, maybe it's with a parent, maybe you've got a sibling, maybe it's a partner, we can help you with that too. Because although we are not licensed to be shrinks, we kind of do play that role a little bit. So we do get into that. He's your very kind older brother. I am your very sassy lesbian aunt. So get in touch with us. Keep watching. We'll see you on Thursday.
When equipment breaks down and operations come to a halt, every single second counts. So why is your maintenance team spending 60% of their time doing anything but turning wrenches? Maintain X is the AI-powered maintenance and asset management system that helps your team get back to actually fixing breakdowns. No more searching for manuals. No more hunting down parts. No more drowning in paperwork. With Maintain X, your team can access manuals from anywhere, create new procedures in minutes, and turn voice notes into clear and complete work order feedback. What used to take hours now only takes minutes. Keep your operations moving and your wrenches turning. Join over 13,000 maintenance teams that are already fixing more and filing less. Try MaintainX for free today. Go to MaintainX.com/AI. That's Maintain and the letter X.com/AI.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Everyone be ready.
Boldly go one step closer to where it all began.
What we are about to do cannot be taken back.
Star Trek Strange New Worlds, new season now streaming on Paramount Plus.